Welcome to NHL Draft Class. Adam Kimmelman here. Mike Morial, how are you as we start the biggest week of our season, the start of draft week?
Exciting week, Adam. I'm really looking forward to this. It's going to be one of the most unpredictable drafts, one that we've kind of, you know, we've spoken to scouts, we've spoken to general managers, and in fact, I would recommend anyone that follows NHL.com, NHL Draft Class, go to the site now. Adam has a great story up there on the Columbus Blue Jackets. They've got three picks. It's the highest number of picks in the first round for any team. Spoke to Yarmo. Adam, give us a little insight into that. I mean, it was really, I thought it was very insightful. You know, when he said to you, you know, if you don't draft well, you have no chance.
And he's right. And what's interesting is this isn't the first time he's gotten to do this. This is his third kick at the can of having three first round picks. He did it his first year in Columbus as GM, and he admits it didn't quite work out. It was Alex Wennberg, Kirby Reichel, and Marco Deno. And he admits he said in the story, you know, we didn't hit a home run, but you know, back in 07 with St. Louis, he had three number ones. They took David Perron, Ian Cole, and Lars Eller. All three guys won Stanley Cups, including, you know, Perron won it with the Blues. And when they traded Ian Cole, they got Robert Bortuzzo, who won a cup in 19 with the Blues. So you can have feast or famine, but you know, having three first round picks, it's a game changer. It can absolutely change the entire direction of your franchise. And look, Columbus is a team that is in the midst of a massive overhaul. John Davidson is in, Brad Larson is in as a new coach, replacing John Tortorella. We don't know what the future of Seth Jones is going to be. So yeah, this is a huge moment for Columbus. And that's one of the many stories we have up on NHL.com. And if you also want to increase your knowledge base for the draft, you can go back and listen to some of the previous episodes of NHL Draft Class. Mike, we can run through the names of the scouts from Central Scouting, from the players that we've had on, you know, talk about the Ontario League, the Western League, the Quebec League, European players, the NCAA players. I don't think there's an area of the draft that we haven't touched on, in addition to talking to some of the top prospects.
We pretty much, you know, cover the gamut here. Regards to regions, as you said, in the different leagues, in the Canadian Hockey League. Obviously, Dan Maher, the director of NHL Central Scouting, was on with us. We discussed, had a real in-depth discussion after the draft lottery and Central Scouting's rankings, which was very informative. But just getting back real quick to Adam, to that Columbus story, sometimes general managers or scouts will say something that just seems so simple, but yet I think it's so important to reiterate to fans, and that you can look at any team that's been successful, and what you're almost saying, they drafted well. You can look at the teams that haven't had success. They haven't drafted as well. As he said, that's the lifeline. That's the way good teams get better. And we're at a point right now where we've just concluded our mock drafts. This is a fun show for Adam and I to do. And, you know, Adam, you know, let's get right at it. I mean, you look at number one, we've been saying it all along, Owen Power to the Buffalo Sabres. I don't think there's any question. As you mentioned in last week's episode on Draft Class, all of 0.01 seconds for Kevin Adams to get up there and make this pick. It's just, you know, look, Power's that big presence, has that vision, has that strength. He has the look of a first pair NHL defenseman. Did so much at the University of Michigan in his first year, was named to the Big Ten All-Freshman team. You know, and I just like what Power has to offer. Yes, he may return to Michigan, but overall, I think he is the guy that the Sabres should select. And we were in agreement on that second pick too, right, Adam, with Seattle?
Yeah, as easy as it was for me to type in Owen Power's name at number one, it was just as easy for me to type in Matthew Beniers number two for Seattle. You know, there might not be a more NHL-ready forward in this year's draft class than Matty Beniers, just because of the way he can impact all areas of the game. And he did it against all levels of competition. Look, he's constantly played up this year, right? Whether he's in the NCAA, whether he's at World Juniors, whether he's at World Championship, he was always playing up, challenging himself, and succeeding. Look, you know, the U.S. doesn't win the World Juniors if he's not playing that checking center role. You know, he scored two goals, I think, at the World Championship. You know, that's a pretty good output for an 18-year-old player. And look, Michigan had the success it had because of how Matthew Beniers played. And he's an 18-year-old kid playing against 20, 21, 22-year-olds, maybe even older. So to me, he's a guy that can impact the game even if he's not playing your number one center. You want him on your roster as an 18-year-old in the NHL, he can be your fourth line center. He can check the other team's top players. He can play on the penalty kill. You know, and again, he's a guy who said maybe he goes back to school for another year. That's fine. He's a guy that I'd be willing to wait on. It's Seattle's first pick. You're drafting a cornerstone player. You're drafting a foundational player. Matty Beniers can be a foundational player for the Seattle Kraken. If you feel the same way, obviously you had him in there at number two as well.
The one thing I know when people have mentioned it, you know, Matty sustained that injury at the World Championship against Slovakia in the quarterfinal round, played a little over 2 minutes before sustaining what looked like that leg injury, but he's all good now. And I know that he's going to attend the World Junior Summer Showcase, which is going to start July 24th. He will participate in practice sessions, but he won't participate in any gameplay. So at least he'll be on the ice with his teammates, learning what the little nuances are that Coach Nate Lehman of the U.S. wants to incorporate into this year's team. I like Matty Beniers here too. As you said, Adam, I think he's a player that, you know, he's probably one of the best two-way centermen of this draft. Let's face it, Ron Francis was one of the league's best two-way centermen. So I would think he'd want to, you know, open up as far as the draft goes and take that player that he feels as though may have that type of impact, as you said. So yeah, Matty Beniers is the guy. Going to number three though, Adam, Anaheim Ducks. This is where we start to maybe differ a little bit. You had Dylan Guenther.
Yeah, this is where we see who the smarter one is here. I'm just kidding, Mike.
All right.
No, you know, what stands out to me is Anaheim desperately needs offense. They were 8.9% on the power play this year. It's the lowest that's ever been recorded since the league started tracking that stat, and I think it was 77-78 season. They need help. Dylan Guenther is a dead-eye goal scorer. He can fill in that blank for them. You know, he averaged 2 points per game in the Western League. That fills a desperate need for the Anaheim Ducks. And look, I know they have Trevor Zegras. Last year he stepped in. He did well for them. They need more. And Dylan Guenther is a guy. And look, Bob Murray had a, you know, end-of-season press conference. He said, we need to add top six forwards. And you can do that. You know, the easiest way to do that is to do it at the draft. So to me, it's a no-brainer for them to take the best offensive player in that spot. To me, that's Dylan Guenther. Obviously, you had a little bit of a different opinion there.
You know what? And it's funny you say that. I'm just going to go right off of what you just said there about taking the best available player. Right, Adam, like, I was thinking about this last night. From this point on, to me, there are a lot of good players. It's like, pick a name and you can make a reason why he should be going here to the Anaheim Ducks at number three. It's not going to be easy. A lot of video work, you know, a lot of maybe watching some of these players live at the U18s. For me, that was one of the things that put Simon Edvinson, the defenseman for Lunda, over the top for me for Anaheim here. You know, I want to take somewhat of a sure thing. And I think having that physical defenseman with a good set of tools, mobility, that skating, a real strong shot is the guy I'd want to grab here in the early rounds. It's very difficult to find those big, strong defensemen. The Ducks have had success in identifying defensemen in the past. Comparisons I'm hearing with Simon Edvinson are Jay Bouwmeester. So look, Edvinson's been around too, and he's had success wherever he's been. He's played in three different leagues in Sweden this season. The SHL, the J20, and Alvaskant. So, you know, I like what Edvinson has to offer. I think he has a good blend of that skating, that physicality, that big shot. So to me, you know, I'm taking Edvinson here at number three and, you know, giving him some time to develop however long that may take, whether it be 2-3 years. But I think in the long run, it'll pay dividends for the Anaheim Ducks.
You know, we're going to get to number four here in a minute, but you mentioned Edvinson and the comparables. And one I heard was Seth Jones. So to me, if you have Seth Jones, why don't you add another Seth Jones clone? So that's, for me, Simon Edvinson looked like the ideal pick for the Columbus Blue Jackets at number five. You know, they need help in a lot of areas down the middle also, but you know, you see Edvinson there. Look, there's three defensemen after power that you can sort of stack out as 1A, 1B, 1C. And it's Simon Edvinson, Luke Hughes, and Brant Clark. How you parse those guys out, you've got a high-end offensive guy, You've got a high-end, big, strong defensive guy, and you got Luke Hughes who's sort of in the middle. So for me, you know, Edmondson was the third guy, not the second guy. So Columbus needs a defenseman. He's sitting there. He looks like a guy that they already have in Seth Jones. We don't know what Seth Jones's future is going to be. So if you have a chance to grab Simon Edmondson at number five, I think he's the ideal fit for Columbus for a lot of the reasons that you said. Big, strong, the tools. He's going to need some time to develop, but man, he looks like a guy who can fill in a major hole, whether Seth Jones is there long-term in Columbus or not.
All good points, Adam. Number four, the New Jersey Devils. I have Luke Hughes going to the Devils. You know, look, the Devils, it seems to me, need that right shot defenseman. Hughes is a lefty, but he's played the right point basically all season long for the NTTP. So he can play both sides, very versatile in what he's able to do. He's going to get better at Michigan for sure. The runway for Hughes, what scouts have told me, what I've seen when he was in the lineup, is long and wide. He was really on an upward projection at the time of his injury in March. Probably would have given power. And we've heard David Gregory said this. David Gregory was on NHL draft class recently. He would have given power, according to Dave, a run for his money down the stretch, Adam, if he were still playing, if he was a member of the U18s, if he was involved in some of those games down the stretch. So it was a shame we didn't get to see him at the U18s. But I do believe Luke Hughes has so much upside here. It's very difficult for the Devils to pass. And not only that, yes, Jack Hughes plays there. And not only are you getting a player in Luke Hughes that's a talented player, in, you know, he's going to the University of Michigan, I would suspect, I don't know if you agree, maybe 2 years at Michigan before he maybe decides to turn pro, but you're also getting that name, and that could attract other players in free agency, in trades. You got Luke Hughes, you got Jack Hughes, maybe a Tkachuk would want to join them at some point down the road, maybe a Quinn would want to join them sometime down the road. So not only are you getting a good athlete, a player that's going to be capable of playing in your top two pair, but you're getting a valuable commodity in where other players around the league and they say, this is an interesting scenario that the Devils are building here.
I think a lot of things you said are right. They need some help on the blue line. They need a right shot defenseman. And Luke Hughes is an excellent choice. And look, there is that natural chemistry that he would have with his brother whenever, you know, 1 year, 2 years at Michigan that he decides to come out. But to me, they need an offensive-minded guy. Ty Smith sort of showed a little bit of that last season, but Brant Clark has the size. He's a right shot. Just, you know, the pinpoint passing, the skating, the offensive mind that he has, to me, that's the ideal fit. And yes, would it make Jack Hughes happy to have his brother there? Certainly. And is Jack Hughes the franchise there in New Jersey? He's certainly part of their foundation. But, man, I would have a hard time, and this isn't a knock on Luke Hughes, who's an excellent player. Brant Clark, to me, is the pick there for the Jersey Devils. And what gives him an edge is he's already done it in the Pro League. He's already done it. I mean, yes, the Slovakian League is what the Slovakian League is, but he's there. And we had Brant on the show back in, you know, January or February when he first got to Slovakia, and he talked about some of the challenges that he had to deal with as far as playing against older, bigger, stronger, more physically developed competition. But once he got the lay of the land, he stepped up in a big way. He scored 15 points in 26 games. He didn't look out of place. He was able to handle the extra physical play. So you've already seen what he can do in pro hockey. Now you're getting a guy who's already got that level of development. Maybe he steps right into the lineup in New Jersey. There's certainly a need there for a player with his skill set. And, you know, maybe he ends up with his brother, Graham, who's a, you know, and Mike, you probably saw more of him playing, you know, in the American League than I did, but Graham Clark's a guy that New Jersey thinks very highly of. He had a good run in the American League. Maybe he's ready to step into the NHL lineup. So, you know, yes, would it be nice that the story of having the two-thirds of the Hughes brothers there in one place, that would be great. But to me, Brant Clark is the guy, and I would have a hard time passing on him, even for a player of Luke Hughes' talent level.
Yeah, a natural right shot, Brant Clark is. Again, Adam, it's tough to determine where these players will go, and you can choose any one. But yeah, Brant would be a great choice for the Devils. But I think it's going to be Luke just for the reasons I discussed. And as you mentioned earlier, you had Simon Edmondson going to Columbus at number five from Frölunda. I had William Eklund, the E.J. Maguire Award recipient. I just think the Jackets need more high-end talent to improve production out of their top nine forward group. I'm not saying Eklund's going to come in and do that immediately. I expect him to go back to the Swedish Hockey League to learn. But they need that. Columbus needs more depth down the middle. I know Yarmo went a bit off the board last year to get Yegor Chinnikov in the first round. They won't have to go to that extent this year with the first of three first rounders and this selection in Eklund. I think Eklund's the guy here. I could also consider Mason McTavish just because of what I know McTavish is all about. But hearing, seeing so many positive things in Eklund's game, the kid goes through walls for teammates, has fantastic skill, played on a line with Alexander Holtz, the Devils forward prospect who will probably join that join the Devils this year as well. Dan Moore spoke highly of William Eklund when we had Goran Stube, the director of European scouting. So did Goran. So I like Eklund here. I think not only is he a good fit for Columbus, but he might just be the next best available player at number five for Columbus.
Well, let's look ahead to number six. And this is where maybe I kind of go off the board a little bit here, but I think Jesper Wallstat, though. The Detroit Red Wings have done a really nice job building that prospect pipeline since Steve Yzerman took over. They've got some young defensemen led by Moritz Seider. They've done well with Ford with, you know, Zadina and Rasmussen, and Joe Valeno was close to jumping in there. They need a goalie. And I remember when we had Yzerman and we talked to him about making the Moritz Seider pick at number six, he said he's the guy that we identified as the best talent. We didn't think he'd be there at a lower spot. We thought teams were going to take him. So he's our best player. Let's just take him. Well, I think Wallstedt is going to be their player. Let's just take him, whether it's number six or not. I know number six is high for a goalie, but man, there is a talent level there with Jesper Wallstedt. And we've had Al Jensen on to talk about it from Central Scouting. Goran Stube was on to talk about it, that he is the best Swedish goalie to come down the pipeline in the last 5 or 6 years, that he's so calm. He's so controlled in his movements, tracks the puck, you know, the way he's able to control his upper body when he's down in the butterfly. You know, he's got pro experience. Is he going to need time to develop? For sure. But if you got a chance to get a franchise goalie and Detroit has the pick in the first, I don't think he's going to be there at 25 when Detroit's turn comes up again. So your options are take the goalie here, even though maybe people might look askew at you, or you just roll the dice on what's available in the second, third, fourth round. To me, you take the goalie. He's the best player available for them at this spot, and he fills a need. To me, it's Jesper Wallstedt. Obviously, you had a little bit of a different opinion.
I like the guts, Adam, but I'm going to get the glory here. No doubt about it. You know, look, Mason McTavish to me is the pick because, look, he's compared himself. He likes to establish the type of play that Orion Getzlaf likes. I just think Detroit is missing that type of element on its roster. And again, when we talk about these players, you know, fans out there, we're not saying that these players are going to play next year, a couple of years, give it a couple of years. But once he does make the Detroit lineup, I think he's going to be that Ryan O'Reilly type of player. You know, the Wings will look for a dominant player to play alongside their 20 first round pick, Lucas Raymond. I think that's McTavish, a dominant, intimidating center. He was great on draws. And the thing I like about McTavish is the fact he comes up big in crucial situations. Every scout has told me that. You know, the Wings, of course, have these two picks in the first round. Yes, they could go Wallstat here, Adam. There's no doubt about it. But I think because you have two other talented goalies, Sebastian Kosa is probably, you know, there's probably a, you know, you got Wallstat, Sebastian Kosa, and then there's a lot, you can draw a line there and say Benjamin Gaudreau of Sarnia might be the next best goalie in this draft. But I think if you can get a Sebastian Kosa where they're picking in the second, their second pick in the first round, there might be an option. You go the best available, which I think is Mason McTavish here. I've also heard comparisons to Pierre-Luc Dubois. I mean, why wouldn't you want to play with that power, that strength, that ability, that scoring ability, a guy that's going to go in the, you know, in the slot and do the grunt work, the dirty work in the corners. That's the kind of guy I think the Detroit Red Wings need in the future. And I think they'd be able to benefit from picking Mason McTavish year.
Mike, I agree with everything you said about Mason McTavish. I just like him better with San Jose at number seven.
Number seven, yeah. And that's what's going to happen here. We have a lot of these picks, right, Adam? If I'm going one way, you're going with the same player the next pick. So it's going to be interesting to see how this goes. But San Jose, you've got Mason McTavish, and I have Brant Clark. Two total different positions, players that we feel as though are going to fit them well. For me, in a nutshell, Brant Clark, I think the Sharks could go goalie here also, Adam. They're in need
certainly
of a goalie.
Possible.
Yeah, Martin Jones has not been their guy here. The only promising young defenseman, though, in the pipeline, Ryan Merkley, Artemi Kanayev, they need a little more, plain and simple. I think Clark is the move here. So give me Brant Clark to the San Jose Sharks at number seven.
Well, let's look at number eight, and I have Luke Hughes going here. I think, the Kings have done a great job with all the young forwards they've picked up. Now they need somebody to get them the puck. They need a guy with Luke Hughes' skill set to get them the puck, and he has the ability to do that. And look, you see what the Kings are building? They look like they're going to be a real dangerous team 2 or 3 years from now when all those guys are kind of ready to move to the NHL. But you saw the need for them to go after a forward, and this is where we get number three guy from Michigan here, Kent Johnson.
Yep, Kent Johnson. I think the Kings need talented forwards with finishing ability to add to their top nine. Obviously, as you mentioned, you have quite a few coming up the pipeline. Quentin Byfield, Alex Turcotte, Artie Kaliev are there. They just need to go best available at eight. I think Kent Johnson is the man. 8 out of 10 scouts gave me a vote of Johnson over Dylan Gunther, Adam, in a story I did not too long ago. So I think Kent Johnson is the guy here. I've heard some comparisons to Elias Pettersson of the Vancouver Canucks. Look, 6'2", 6'3", he's got Patrick Kane type ability. I think that's the guy you want to go with. As far as the Vancouver Canucks, you've took William Eklund for the Canucks, and I got Gunther. So a little bit of a difference there. Both wingers. We'll see where that turns out, huh?
Yeah, I think the thought of Eklund and Elias Pettersson on the same line, really, it's got to be exciting if I'm a Canucks fan, and they're just going to continue to add another top-end forward prospect. But number 10, I went with Kent Johnson. This is where you saw the first goalie falling, though.
If Wallstedt falls to number 10, Matt Murray struggled a little bit this season. His first of a four-year, $25 million contract. Not to say he couldn't rebound this year, but regardless, Ottawa needs a long-term option between the pipes after Mads Søgaard. Wallstedt can marinate in Sweden, and then perhaps a season in the Ontario Hockey League in Belleville will do him well. Obviously, Adam, number 11, the Arizona Coyotes. The pick has been forfeited as a punishment for violation of the NHL combine testing policies during the 1920 season. We know GM Bill Armstrong is going to do all he can to fulfill that pipeline. So it's going to be interesting to see what Arizona does after this first round when they get their picks and how they use those picks.
And next at number 12, and we were in agreement here, Chaz Lucius is the guy for the Chicago Blackhawks. They need to start building up some offense. Look, Patrick Kane, as great as he is, it's not going to be there forever. They need some help. And Chaz Lucius is a guy, I know he only got 13 games this season through, no fault of his own, recovering from the knee surgery. I had the story on that on NHL.com a few weeks ago with the bone lesion he had to get removed from his knee. But look, if he's a guy that now he's skating pain-free, he's playing pain-free for the first time in a number of years, man, if he's there at number 12, I think this is a no-brainer opportunity for the Blackhawks to get a guy that can really, really help them once he gets a little bit more development at the University of Minnesota next season.
Yeah, the Blackhawks need top nine scoring wingers, depth down the middle, talent, and two-way playing style. Lucius kind of kills two birds with one stone on the offensive side of things. So, yeah, I totally agree there, Adam. I think Lucius is the pick for the Blackhawks. Number 13, the Calgary Flames. Oh, my goodness. Can you believe this? Oh, wake me up. We're in agreement again. Matthew Coronado, the right wing from the Chicago Steel in the United States Hockey League. For me, Adam, Coronado will continue his development at Harvard next season. Would find it very hard not to choose a 48-goal scorer here in Coronado, also named the USHL Forward of the Year. I think the Flames need to look at, they may need to look at future defensemen, but again, I think Coronado is big value here.
I think this just shows that you've been listening to me all these years and you're finally smartening up. And yes, Coronado is the guy for Calgary for a lot of the things you just said. I mean, look, you know, you can take the USHL for, and I know people will maybe look down a little bit the end of the nose at it because when you compare it to the Canadian Hockey League, but 48 goals is still 48 goals. And when I see Matthew Coronado, I see a younger John LeClair. I see a John LeClair from before he had the back problems in Philadelphia, Legion of Doom era John LeClair. You can add that guy with the 13th pick. I think you do not hesitate. And speaking of the Legion of Doom and the Philadelphia Flyers, number 14, I went with Fedor Svechkov here. Now, the Flyers need depth through the middle. Sean Couturier and Kevin Hayes are still in their prime, but they need a little bit more behind them. Morgan Frost, you're not sure 100% what you're going to get from him because he can't stay healthy, and he still needs to get bigger and stronger. Svechkov is a guy who, you know, he's already got an NHL size body at 6 foot and 187 pounds. He was a standout performer at the under-18s. He's already got a little bit of a pro experience playing in Russia. You know, is he the flashiest guy available? No, but I think he fills, has the potential to fill a lot of needs there for Philadelphia through the middle.
That's a great choice. I just think, you know, Cole Sillinger, the center for Sioux Falls in the United States Hockey League, is the type of player that the Flyers look at in drafts. You know, he has plays a little with a little bit of an edge. He was named USHL Rookie of the Year as a skilled offensive player. The Flyers have, you know, a strong liking towards those North American players. Sillinger, to me, is the man here. You know, Claude Giroux and Couturier are UFAs in 2022. They need more game breakers up front. The Nolan Patrick pick didn't pan out, right, Adam? It doesn't mean it won't work for the, he won't, you know, fit well with the Golden Knights. And I hope Patrick does find success. So the Flyers need to do a little bit of a reset here. They could use this opportunity to maybe pick up some forwards, particularly down the middle of the ice. And from the scouts that I've spoken to, I mean, I'm getting Jamie Benn comparisons. So with Cole Sillinger, he's got that pedigree. His dad played in the league for so many years. So I like Cole Sillinger as the pick here for the Flyers.
And you can say this about his father. His father's a former Flyer, although you could probably say that about 12 teams in the league, that his father is a former XYZ. So
yeah. And then at 15, right, Adam, we had two defensemen going. You had Carson Kuhlemans from Brooks in the Alberta Junior Hockey League, and I chose Carson Lambos, a defenseman from the Winnipeg Ice in the Western Hockey League. Look, I just think Lambos, you know, he sustained some injuries this year. A lot of the scouts like what they see and what he's been able to bring to the table when he has been on the ice. I've heard comparisons to Oliver Ekman-Larsson. You know, he went overseas. He played a little bit in Finland, came back, sustained that little injury. But for the most part, I like what I see in Lambos. I think he'd be a good benefit for the Dallas Stars at number 15 here.
You know what? And I was back and forth on Lambos and Kuhlemans. They're going to go close to each other because they have such similar skill sets. But to me, what stood out for Kuhlemans is, number one, he's a right shot. Number two, he's a little bit bigger at 6 foot two, and he skates a little bit better than Lambos did, at least from what I saw. So I like the way he used the stick in the defensive zone to kind of, he's not going to be a guy who runs you through the boards. He's going to be a real smart defensive player where he uses his stick to defend. You know, I just think they need more depth at the position. They're set up now well with Miro Heiskanen, and he just signed the 8-year contract, and Klingberg and Lindell are still really good players for them. And Thomas Harley's going to move into a prime role here, probably this season or next. They need more depth there. And to me, Carson Kuhlemans, and they have time to let him grow and develop in college. He just looks like the guy for them. So, and then we move to number 16 and the New York Rangers. To me, Brennan Othman is the guy. They need skilled grit. And when I watch Brennan Othman, I think I see some of that skilled grit that they're going to need. I know they need centers, but you know, you watch Othman with the skating, the speed, the physicality. I get a little bit of Tyler Seguin vibe when I watch him. And he's already done at the pro level, and that to me really stands out. You know, he went over to the Swiss League, and he really looked good over there. He never looked out of place on the big ice. He was able to be physical, hard on the forecheck, and I think that's something the Rangers really need. You know, they have all these young, skilled forwards like Lafreniere and Kako and Kravtsov, and Othman's the kind of guy who's going to give them room to operate and give them room to showcase their skill set. You kind of had a little bit of a different feeling for them. You went with a center.
Yeah, you know, I actually had them choosing, the Rangers choosing Othman in my previous draft. And I'm glad I changed it because, well, I'm glad I changed it because if you have Othman, then I know it's, you know, not the right, the proper choice. So I'm going with someone completely different here. And I went with the centerman. I think the Rangers have, you know, scoring depth on wing, but they need to look at the big picture. You know, Ryan Strome, Mika Zibanejad are UFAs in the summer of 22. You know, so they need forward depth. Borgo could provide that depth. He plays the middle, had a great season, a dynamic offensive player. You know, I know JF Danfus, who was on NHL draft class, he spoke very highly of Borgo and what he was able to bring to Shawinigan this season. He had 20 goals, was third with 40 points in 29 regular season games in the QMJHL. So I like what Borgo has. A great skater too, Adam. He's had some comparisons when some of the scouts I've spoken to a William Nylander type player. For the last 2 years, Borgo has been impressive. He's that steady player that brings it game after game. I think that's the type of player that that the Rangers will want, you know, in 2 to 3 years on their roster down the middle of the ice when they may be losing some of these other players.
So let me ask you this, Mike, and now we're at number 17, the St. Louis Blues. We're out of the lottery section of the draft. Overall, we've done this a number of times over a number of years. At what point did it start to get, I mean, I'm sure you could say that probably at number three, but where did it start to get, all right, I got like 15 names that could go here because these guys are all so tightly bunched, all so talented. I'm curious, where did it start to get really difficult for you to parse out which player should go with which team?
Yeah, that's a good question. I can honestly say maybe at 10, Adam, because of where is Wallstedt going, right? Isn't he like, I'm kind of wondering where the first goaltender is going to fall here. And obviously you had him to Detroit earlier. I had him at 10 to the Ottawa Senators. But yeah, from that point, from 10 on, it was, I think for the most part, we got, each of us has the 10, the players that may go in that range, but the order may be totally different. But then from 11 on, it's like I'm looking at players, some, you know, skill sets that are similar. You're just looking at maybe right shot, left shot. Can they play down the middle? Are they a better winger? Are they physical? A few of those players, like towards the latter stages of the first round, you know, got my attention too. So where are the Sweden-born players going to go? Most of them played, you know, full seasons in the Swedish Hockey League. Where do the Russians go? Is the Russian factor still going to play a part? It seems like every year we're talking about the Russian factor. We don't want it to be, you know, to play a part, but sometimes it does for some clubs. Do they fall behind the Sweden-born players? It's all something that's, you know, you try to take into consideration, but it's just too much. You try to go best available player here. I don't know. What are your thoughts? Where did it start getting difficult for you?
You know, for me, I actually felt pretty good once we got down until about 21. The Boston Bruins pick at 21. That's where I sort of like, all right, they have areas of need and there's so many talented players available. And obviously you take best player available, but at a certain point, the need can enter the equation, even though, yes, by the time that player gets there, your needs could be different. However, you can look at need as a secondary or a third tiebreaker. And that's where I sort of started getting into things. All right, what's the hair's breadth difference between player X and player Y when they look equal on in every little skill set? Well, they might have a little bit more of a need for a defenseman. They might have a little bit more of a need for a center. They might need a little bit more left wing depth. So that's where it started to break down, because for me, once I got to Edmonton at 20, they need a goalie. Sebastian Kos is there. For me, that was, you know, a pretty easy selection. But then you get to Boston at 21. Do they take a center? Do they try to add more young defensemen to the system? Because they need both. So that's where it sort of started to get a little difficult for me. And then the trickle down after that, it's like, all right, who's best available? Well, who are you asking? Because your best available and my best available and the scout's best available could be completely different. So for me, I had a decent enough time until I got to the bottom 10 or 11 picks. And then it was just like, all right, now it's just, how are we going to parse this out? Because it got really, really difficult.
well, aren't you special? I mean, you could just go 1 through 20 and you know who's going where. And, you know, that's great. Well, I'm glad, yeah. You know, you have it all figured out, don't you, Adam Kimmelman? All figured out.
Well, yeah. And I was kind of surprised that you went up to number 10. I thought you were smarter than that.
I am very smart. It just takes me a little time to digest and what's going on, what teams need. As you said, you know what I thought was kind of cool, though, is that with the sixth pick with Detroit, yes, you had Wallstedt going there. I had Mason McTavish, the physical, rugged, you know, Ryan O'Reilly type of player. And then when, you know, you go down to these picks at number 23, Detroit's second pick, then you had Detroit taking Zachary LaRue, who is also a physical, you know, get into the corners, do the dirty work. And it could be just the opposite of what we did. You had a goalie first for Detroit and then the physical power forward type guy. I had Detroit saying, all right, skip the goalie at top, get the physical power forward, best available player, who I think would best available player there. And then maybe Sebastian Kosa, the next best goalie on the list, or a Benjamin Goudreau from Sarnia, if they want to choose him, you know, in the first round, which would make it three goalies in the first round. But I just, isn't that an interesting dynamic, Adam? And the other thing too, if you care to comment, Atu Ratti from Karpat in Finland, we had him going in different spots. I had him actually going to Detroit with that number 23 pick. You had him going a little bit further down the draft, and he's a big wild card here.
Well, it's funny that, you know, as we're going through these and I saw you had Ratti at 23, I initially had Ratti penciled in there, and I thought he reminds me of the, and you said about, he's a wild card. We don't know, you know, he plays in the World Juniors for Finland at 17. You expect this is going to be the Atu Ratti draft. And now we're talking about him the bottom half of the first round, because he didn't have the season, whether he had a good season or a bad season, he didn't meet the expectations that rightfully or wrongfully were placed upon him. He didn't play World Juniors, didn't play World Championship. He had just a decent season, but I had him penciled in there because it reminds me of when Detroit took Joe Valeno a couple of years ago. You know, Joe Valeno was sort of in that same situation. He came into the Quebec League at 15 with the exceptional player status, and you just waited for him to have that rocket ship moment where he would become a top five guy. And he wasn't a top five guy in his draft, and Detroit got him at number 30 in the first round. Now he has the look of a legit top nine center for them. I think Atu Ratti could be that same sort of value pick where they get him lower in the draft after, you know, a quote unquote down season. I don't know if you can say what Ratti had as a down season or what Valeno had in his draft year as a down season, but they didn't meet the expectations that were artificially placed on them. So yeah, I think Atu Ratti could be the guy there for Detroit, even though I had him lower down and I initially thought maybe that could be a good spot for him. But I think, yeah, he is the most unpredictable player in a very, very unpredictable draft. And I had him going at number 30 to the Columbus Blue Jackets because, you know, they need help through the middle. I think Jarmo Kekäläinen knows him, is going to know him better because of their both Finnish. I think to me, it looks like a good spot for him at number 30, but I absolutely could see him going at 23 to Detroit. And I will say, I think that could be, you could be right there. It pains me to say that, but yes, you could be right there.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that no matter where he goes, I think it'll be a surprise, right? If he does go early, people can be like, oh, all right, they're taking a chance. This team is taking a chance on Atu Ratti. And when I say early, I mean in that top 15 range. But if he drops, he could be the best value of this draft, Atu Ratti. So look, spoken to scouts. No scout has told me, no, I'm really down on this guy. You know, I wouldn't take him. They're all saying, hey, you know, this could be one of the best value picks of this draft. I've heard a couple of scouts tell me Jesperi Kotkaniemi, the Montreal Canadiens forward. There's a little bit of a comparison there with him. And I could see that. He's got that lanky frame, 6'2", 185, can skate really well. Hey, look, if you're a team able to get him, and Stevie Y is capable of doing this, and as we've mentioned ad nauseum here, Adam, it's, you know, like Stevie Y always takes those players that maybe you just don't expect them to go there at that particular point in the draft, but he's capable of doing that. And he's capable of getting inside a player's head and telling him what they need to do to be successful. And if he can't do that, and if the player is not willing to do it, well, then he's out the door. I think Atsurati is going to be given that chance, whichever team does draft him. If it's not Detroit, it could be Columbus with that third pick in the first round for sure.
Detroit has courage and conviction. They have a list. They stick to it. And whether Ratty's on that list or LaRue's on that list, I think they're going to take the player they think best. Forget what everybody else thinks. But, you know, moving down a little bit here, I look at number 26, the Minnesota Wild. And we both thought defensemen there, but very different types of defensemen, I think. I went with Sean Behrens there. And the reason is, you know, everybody looked at that NTDP team. They said, oh, Luke Hughes. But they had other defensemen. And when I watched Sean Behrens on video, I just thought everything good that you need from an NHL defenseman, he has. You know, he's a guy that skates so well, you know, offensively minded, you know, can make really good plays off the rush. To me, that's what you want from an NHL defenseman. He doesn't have the size necessarily that you want, but I think his skill set lends to him being able to be a really, really effective guy, 5-on-5 or on the power play. And Minnesota has a need for young defensemen. You know, they were able to work Kalen Addison into the lineup a little bit last year. Guessing with Ryan Suter's departure, he's going to have more ice time this year, but they're going to need more. And Sean Behrens is a guy, you draft him, you let him go to college for a couple of years, you bring him in, he's a guy who has the look of being, at worst, a top four guy, definitely top two.
And as you mentioned in your capsule there, in our mock drafts, Adam, yeah, he was a little bit overlooked with all the attention being paid to Luke Hughes this year. And Behrens actually paired with Luke Hughes on occasion, so, and looked really good. And then scouts loved him. I think we're both in the same target zone here. I think defense is the way to go for the Wild with this pick at 26, you know, whether it's Behrens or Bouillon, you know, who knows? I took Bouillon because he has that size advantage over Behrens. He's excelled at Shattuck. Obviously the big league prep school there in Minnesota. And then when he came to Sioux City, I thought he played extremely well. 26 points, 22 assists, was a plus 16 in 50 games for Sioux. So I thought he looked great there. And I thought he really showcased his ability well at the All-American prospects game earlier this season. So I do like Shai Bouillon there for the Minnesota Wild. One of the interesting selections is the second pick in this draft for the New Jersey Devils, which comes in at number 29. They got that pick from the New York Islanders. And I know you go Maki Samoskevich from Chicago in the USHL, and I went Colton Dock, the center from Saskatoon. Why'd you go Maki there, Adam?
Devils need some offense. They need guys who can score the puck, and Samoskevich showed that he can do anything you want in the offensive zone. He's a guy who makes plays at top speed, the hockey IQ, the skating, the shot. You know, we had scouts on who said the way he's able to change his angle on his shot to be deceptive, to make it harder for goalies to track the puck when he's shooting it. To me, that's something that you don't see from players at 18. And yes, he's going to need time. He's another guy who's going to Michigan, and he's another guy who's going to have time to play like an all-star team there. And I think the Devils would be good to just draft him, let him develop, and you can never have enough top six wingers who are able to execute at pace. And you could see sort of the genesis of that group there building with the Devils with what they have now with Heischer and Hughes and Lucas Raymond, who you know, they're going to add probably, I'm sorry, Alexander Holtz, who they're going to add next season most likely. You add another guy like Samoskevich, that's a huge addition for them. Look, you need depth in the middle. They look like they're set up in the middle with Hughes and Heischer. Now you got to start filling in on the wings. Give those guys somebody to pass the puck to. Holtz was a good start. I think Samoskevich also is a huge no-brainer pick for me if he's there at number 29.
Yeah, I think that would be a great pick. I also think, you know, I'm taking a little bit of a long shot here in Colton Dock, the center from Saskatoon in the WHL. Obviously, the brother of Blackhawks forward Kirby Dock. If he's there, I think Dock does fill a need for the Devils, because it seems to me that Tom Fitzgerald, the general manager there for New Jersey, is building a bigger, stronger team. Tom knows that, you know, come playoff time, yeah, it's nice to have those skilled, you know, forwards, maybe sub 5'11", that are able to get it done in the regular season, but You need to have those strong skaters that are going to muck and grind, stand in the middle, screen goalies. And I think Colton Dock is that type of player from Saskatoon that'll do that for the Devils. He gives them size in their top nine, but a player who also has a lot of skills to build upon. So I think I would like to see the Devils take Colton Dock there.
One of the teams that I had the hardest time with was number 28, Colorado. You know, it's like, what do you give to the team that has everything, right? Find me a weakness in their prospect pipeline, defense, forward, goalie. And I just said, well, who's the best guy available in that spot? To me, it was Zach Dean. And Zach Dean, and we talked to JF Damfus about it, don't look at the numbers with Zach Dean. Look at all the things that he did, skating, shooting, two-way play, power play, penalty kill. Should he have been rewarded more on a points basis, the raw stats? Probably, but he wasn't. But you just watch the skill set. He's always through the middle of the ice. I think that's what Colorado likes in their players. They like guys who are willing to stay in the middle of the ice in both zones, get to the front of the net in the offensive zone and produce. And to me, that was the pick for them. You know, they're so stacked in so many different places on D with Byram and Barron and up front with, you know, they added Newhook and Sampo Ranta got a little bit of a run in the playoffs for them this season, maybe a goalie, but I think they're very high on Justice Noonan. The best player available to me in that spot was Zach Dean. Why did you go with Samu Tamala? Not that it's a bad pick, because I like what I saw from Tamala when I watched him on video, but what put Tamala in that spot for you?
I like what I saw at the U18s. He led Finland in points. I like what Goran Stoop was telling us about Tuomala, you know, one of the most improved players in Finland. The Avs, to me, you know, just need to continue to improve their depth at all positions. Tuomala, to me, is a fascinating prospect. He made his Liga debut with Karpat this year. He's an explosive skater, good tools. He's going to need some time to develop, obviously. And the Avs can afford to show patience with Tuomala. I think it'll pay off in the end for them, Adam.
So let's look at number 30. And, you know, you mentioned Shea Bouilliam there as your pick for higher up. I went with him there for Vegas because I think one thing that Vegas hasn't done, they haven't developed a defenseman prospect. You know, you thought maybe Eric Branstrom would be the guy. They ended up moving him to Ottawa in the Mark Stone trade. But you need somebody. And they've done well with Ford. You know, you look at Peyton Krebs and what he could possibly be. Brendan Brisson is close to being able to, you know, probably needs another year at Michigan and then he'll be ready. They don't have that guy on the blue line. And look, Alex Pietrangelo is signed for a long time, but he's going to get a little bit older. Shea Theodore is your guy right now, but you need more behind them. And they don't really have that defenseman. I think Bouilliam has as high a ceiling as any other defenseman in the draft. I think the raw skills are there. There's work that needs to be done. He needs to get stronger. He needs to get better skating. You know, but the hockey IQ, you can see really, you know, quality pieces there that he's going to be able to put together. If he's able to put together, I think he has the chance to be an outstanding defenseman. And if I'm Vegas and I'm sitting there and I'm saying, who's the best defenseman available? Because I think that's really an area of need. I think Bouilliam's the guy.
Look, I don't think it's going to be, I kind of be surprised if Chiprikov was available for Vegas here, but just because of the way my draft kind of went, he was available. So I think it's kind of a no-brainer. Look, the Knights have some good center prospects, you know, Cody Glass, Peyton Krebs, Brendan Brisson. So perhaps finding playmakers with speed, you know, strong on the back check and forecheck well. Nikita Chiprikov, you know, did just that this season. Again, I'm not sure how long he'll last, but I'm taking into consideration, you know, to maybe some teams would consider the Russian factor. Maybe he'll drop a little bit to Vegas in this spot. And I've heard comparisons, Adam, to Max Domi. You know, Chiprikov has that type of mentality and that style of play. Played games in the KHL, the VHL, and the MHL during this past season. So he's excelled in all levels. So I like Nikita here. And then looking, you know, at the Stanley Cup runner-up, the Montreal Canadiens, you had Pennelly, Francesco Pennelly from Kitchener. I had Sasha Pastrasov. Why did you like Pennelly there for the Habs?
Well, I sort of maybe got a little bit biased towards guys who have done it at the pro level already. And Pennelly, you know, he didn't have the opportunity to play in the Ontario League, so he had no choice but to go overseas and play pro. but you can control how you perform in that pro league. And to me, Pennelly really played his game again. And yes, he played in the Alps Hockey League, and you can take that for, you know, with a giant grain of salt, but it's still pro hockey against guys who were older, more physically developed. And he was able to do everything he did in the Ontario League, everything he did in Kitchener, he was able to do, you know, in that Alps League. To me, he reminded me a little bit of Ryan O'Reilly in that, you know, a guy who's not flashy, but he's going to do everything it takes to win games. He backchecks well. He skates well. You know, he had a real good time and a real good run at the World Under 18s. To me, you know, he reminds me he's just a guy that can be physical and nasty and hard to play against. And when you have a team filled with skilled forwards like Suzuki and Caulfield, you know, similar to what I said with the Rangers taking Brennan Hoffman, you need guys who can open up space for those kind of players to produce and be, you know, everything their skill allows them to be. Pennelly will eventually, I think, allow those skilled Montreal forwards to have the space they need to be the productive players that they can be. And Pennelly's also a skilled player. So to me, he's there. I think he can go higher than 31. I think he could go, you know, a little bit farther up, somewhere in between 20 to 30. But if he's there for Montreal, and like you said with your previous pick, this is how my draft fell out. Pennelly's there. Montreal takes him. What about Pastajov made him a good fit for Montreal for you?
And just as a side note, I had Pennelly going to the Columbus Blue Jackets at 25, their second of three picks in the first round. So I had him, you know, Columbus actually, you know, stocking up on the forwards there. But Sasha Pastajov to the Canadiens, you know, Mark Bergevin and his scouting team have consistent eyes on that NTDP, it seems to me, that the U.S.-based players and Pastajov is one of the best. He's got good size. He'll improve at Notre Dame next season. Was named MVP at the BioSteel American game. I just think he has that ability to, you know, seek out centers and make the good flashy passes. He likes to shoot the puck as well. So you give him the puck down wing and he's able to, you know, rocket a shot. And I know a lot of scouts have told me that he's got a sensational shot. So 30 goals. He led the NTDP this year. He had 65 points total in 41 games. The United States finished fifth at the under-18s this year, but he still led that unit with 8 points, including 5 goals and 31 shots on goal. So I like what Pastajov has to offer. He's kind of, in some ways, they're not similar, but the same type mentality in a Cole Caulfield that, you know, played so well for Montreal down the stretch in the playoffs. Caulfield, you know, wants the puck on his stick. He wants to be a shooter. He wants to score goals. Pastajov is almost the same way. And we've always discussed, you know, Montreal and how they need players that are going to shoot the puck, going to score, going to get into the thick of things. I think Pastajov will do that for them, Adam.
Yeah, I agree. He's certainly a dead-eye scorer. I don't know if he's at Caulfield level, but no. I think he's definitely a guy who knows how to shoot the puck, knows how to score the puck. And then we get to number 32, final pick in the first round. You know, the Tampa Bay Lightning Stanley Cup champions traded it to Columbus to get David Savard. You know, I went with Adu Ratti here. You went with Zach Dean. What about Zach made him a fit for Columbus for you?
Well, very, you know, I had Columbus drafting Eklund and Pennelly with the first two choices. So how about the next best player on my list? And that would be Zach Dean. If he doesn't go earlier, as he did for you, Adam, you know, he's been climbing up everyone's ranks, spoke of very highly by Central, especially for his play over the second half of last season. Excellent two-way player, can do it all. I just think it's a matter of just choosing the best available at this position. I think Columbus, you know, as we mentioned earlier, are looking for those playmakers, those skilled playmakers, those difference makers. And I just think Zach Dean is that type of player.
Yeah, you know, and he is. And again, that speaks to the unpredictability of this year's draft, that Zach Dean could be there at 28 when Colorado picks. He could be there at 32 when Columbus picks. I went with Ratti, and I just think, like, for the same reason you said, he's the best player there. Let's take a shot with him. And look, the talent is still there. The ceiling is very high for Adu Ratti. And like we talked about earlier, he could be the highest value player picked, you know, because he could go anywhere and we don't know what he's going to be. He is boom or bust. He could be a guy who maybe he does get back to being that guy that he was when he played in the World Juniors as a 17-year-old. And we thought this would be the Atu Ratti draft. Maybe he gets back to that with lower expectations, a full season of experience in Liga, and he's on that development curve that gets him to the NHL in two seasons. So it's going to be really interesting to see. And look, when you have three picks, you can sort of take a little bit of a chance here. And they've got Simon Edvinson at five. I think they got the defenseman that they need. You know, they get, I have them taking Xavier Bourgault, so they get the center that they need at 25 with the pick they got from Toronto. And now, hey, there's Ratti. He's still there. Let's take a shot.
No matter what we think, Adam, no matter what we think, expect the unexpected in this draft for sure. It's going to be a rocket ride. I mean, we're going to see players chosen left and right that maybe we haven't even spoken about or talked about today. So it's going to be an interesting first round for sure.
Yeah, and it's good. And as you said, it's going to be, it's always unpredictable. It's going to be more unpredictable than usual this year because of how scouting was so difficult. You know, players didn't play. Players had to go to foreign areas to play. Players only got 20 games. You know, it's going to be, we talked about we did 31 names. There could be 50 guys that could go in the first round. So, you know, it's going to make for outstanding theater. It's going to be so much fun to watch. And you can watch it July 23rd, 8 p.m. Eastern on ESPN2, Sportsnet Now, rounds 2 through 7 on the NHL Network on the 24th, starting at 11 a.m. Eastern. Also, if you're in Canada, on Sportsnet and Sportsnet Now. Mike, this is Super Bowl week for us. This is a year's worth of, we started talking about these guys the day after the 2020 draft ended. And now here we are. It's time to see who gets picked where and who gets to pull on which sweater.
Looking forward to it, Adam. It's going to be a lot of fun. That first round is always something to behold when, you know, for us, it's nice to know where these players land. But just the fact that after they're drafted, you get to see their expressions most of the time. They're with, you know, people they love, their parents, whoever's with them at the time, friends, you know, hearing their names called by these teams is always a special moment, no matter where they are. So it's going to be a great event, as it usually is. We look forward to the first round, the second round through seven on Saturday. And then, of course, the World Junior Summer Showcase getting us prepped for the World Junior Championship in 2022. So a lot to look forward to for sure.
Yes. And the next time you hear us, we'll be talking about the 2022 draft. There is no rest for us here at NHL Draft Class. I just want to remind people one more time, go back and listen to some of the older episodes of NHL Draft Class. Just, you know, this is the time that, you know, cram for your final exam. Go back and listen to when we talk to the scouts about, you know, the best players from the Ontario League, from the Quebec League, from the Western Hockey League. We had David Gregory and Dan Marr on for more of a general perspective of who the top players are. You cannot go wrong with building your knowledge base through older episodes of NHL Draft Class. But as of now, NHL Draft Class is dismissed.